Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, August 16th, 2017. I'm Eric Tegedoff. On our rundown today, Trump says there were very fine people on both sides in Charlottesville, Virginia, Saturday. A Minnesota church leader urges people to stand up against hate groups. And civil rights groups are outraged over the potential pardon of former Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio. This and more ahead. At a press conference at Trump Tower Tuesday, President Donald Trump defended white nationalist protesters in Charlottesville last Saturday, saying there were very fine people on both sides of the violence that struck the small Virginia town. On Monday, Trump condemned neo-Nazis, the KKK, and other hate groups in a prepared statement, but his remarks on Tuesday appeared to double down on his original reaction to violence in Charlottesville when he blamed people on both sides. This weekend could bring a wave of far-right rallies to at least 9 more cities. None are scheduled to take place in Minnesota, but Lori Stern reports the state isn't immune to these actions.
After weekend violence in Charlottesville, Virginia, during a white supremacist march, and another incident even closer to home, Minnesotans are wondering what, if anything, they can do. Reverend Curtis DeYoung, who heads the Minnesota Council of Churches, says what's important is to do something.
This is timed a week after a mosque bombing in Bloomington, Minnesota, so we were already on alert around hate. We've made our public statements, but we feel there needs to be more than just that.
Both the Minnesota Council of Churches and the Southern Poverty Law Center, the group that published the map and tracks hate crimes across the country, recommend a few steps individuals can take to improve race relations. Those steps include signing petitions, reporting every incident of hate, and getting to know people who have backgrounds different from your own.
Civil liberties groups in Arizona are slamming the idea of a pardon for former Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio after Trump said he is seriously considering such a move ahead of a rumored visit to the state next week.
The 85-year-old Arpaio faces 6 months in jail for violating a court order to stop racially profiling people suspected of being undocumented immigrants. State Representative Tony Navarrete says the president seems to be dismissing people of color who felt unfairly harassed by Arpaio's deputies.
Not only is that a slap in the face to our justice system, but it's also a slap in the face to the voters of Maricopa County who have faced Arpaio for decades, who have fought hard to make sure that he was held accountable for his actions.
Arpaio lost a re-election bid in November after 24 years in office. His attorneys requested a new trial on Monday, arguing that he should have been given a jury trial. The original case ended with a court order to stop turning undocumented people over to federal immigration agents if they were not suspected of any state crime. I'm Suzanne Potter.
More than 100,000 people will descend on Santa Fe, New Mexico for the annual Indian market this weekend, and many may not realize lawmakers are working to make sure they buy genuine Native American art, not fakes or imports.
New Mexico's U.S. senators held hearings on the spread of bogus Native American merchandise last month, arguing that the federal government needs to improve protections for tribal artists against fraud that undercuts the value of their work. Navajo weaver Joyce Begay-Foss with the New Mexico Museum of Indian Arts doesn't want shoppers to end up with buyer's remorse.
If you don't have that knowledge of buying Indian art, you need to do your homework now. It's come to that point because there is so much imported products on the market, and you could even have Native people even selling imported products. It's come to that point, too.
New Mexico Senator Tom Udall is the vice chairman of the U.S. Senate Committee on Indian Arts and says he intends to introduce a bill to strengthen federal law.
That was Roz Brown reporting. Back to school can be a trying time for some kids. Tim Morrissey has more.
The start of another school year is just a couple weeks away, and that can trigger some anxiety among younger students. There are things you can do to help minimize your child's concerns, according to Dr. Marcia Slattery, director of the UW Health Anxiety Disorder Program. She says you'll likely notice that younger school-aged children may become more irritable as the onset of school approaches.
The grade school kids definitely start asking more. They start wanting to have detail about what's going to happen, basically trying to say, what are the unknowns that I need to know about? So more questions, more seeking information.
Dr. Slattery works with parents and children who have serious anxiety problems, helping them practice being in situations that make them apprehensive and learn to control their anxiety in those situations. She says visiting the school with your child before the start of the school year can help reduce their concerns about unknowns.
August is National Breastfeeding Awareness Month, and an event in Colorado today celebrates nature's solution for getting newborns all the nutrients they need.
It's co-sponsored by Valleywide Health Systems, where Katie Baird says breastfeeding is good for moms and babies. She explains it helps women lose weight faster after pregnancy and results in fewer incidents of childhood obesity, cancer, and other illness.
Infants who are breastfed tend to have sort of this built-in immunity that comes from the mother's milk. And there are many, many, many things that are found in breast milk that cannot be replicated in formulas.
And unlike formula, Bear points out, mother's milk is free. She adds breastfeeding also helps mothers and newborns bond. The connection leads to better body temperature regulation, and breastfeeding also stimulates neuron activity, which fuels brain development and has been shown to produce higher IQs. I'm Eric Galatis.
I'm Eric Tegedoff for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.